Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, my guest tonight at the big table is none other than Chicago hip-hop star and Def Jam recording artist Lil Durk.
Walking like I got money, I'ma do the money walk. Walking like I got money, I'ma do the money walk. Walking like I got money, I'ma do the money walk. Let's get it.
Durk hails from Inglewood on Chicago's South Side, came up in the drill scene here alongside rappers Chief Keef, Lil Reese, and others. He just released his second album on Def Jam called Two Times. Durk raps about what he knows and what he's experienced, and that's a life growing up in Chicago around violence and loss. But for all that pain that Durk's had in his life, he's persevered, coming out of Chicago to not only sign with a major label, but to succeed at that label. Not bad for a kid at the ripe old age of 23 years old. Lil Durk currently lives in Los Angeles, but he's back in Chicago, and he's my guest tonight on The Download. Lil Durk, nice to meet you. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, I came back just for you.
Yeah, right. Well, let's talk about the new record. I mean, this is a huge achievement for you. I mean, you had some success with the first record on Def Jam, but talk about the record just coming out and how it feels to have a successful second record.
Yeah, I want to do something different with this record. You know what I'm saying? I want, like, more bouncy feeling. I'm saying I felt Yo Gotti was the right person for it. I'm saying we just threw it out there and gave it a go.
You know, I'd read places that you were thinking about just sort of starting with it just being a mixtape, but you wanted to take it further. What was it about this music in particular with Two Times that made you think about taking it further?
It's just different people on it, like the different features, you know what I'm saying, different producers, the team around me now, you know what I'm saying, more smart and see the more bigger vision. Mm-hmm. So that's just gave me the confidence and the ability to do everything the right way.
How do you think your music has evolved on Def Jam? I mean, from the first record that you put out to now, I mean, what are some of the themes and the stuff that you're putting together with your music and your songwriting?
Well, it started by social media. Social media got bigger. You know what I'm saying? You can see it. I'm saying definitely from my team working on it, not working on it personally. It's just getting bigger. You see different things. You know what I'm saying? Different fans or different races. You know what I'm saying? That's what really make it more bigger, too.
I mean, the music, especially on Two Times, I mean, it is taking on. I mean, it's a soulful. You've got the Beyonce, which is one of the big hits, Money Walks. But talk about the style of music that's coming out, because it is changing. It feels like it's a little bit more, it's a little romantic? Is that the word? Like, it just seems like you're getting more to the love song version of Lil Durk.
I have you on it, baby.
No, but is that intentional?
I do what I feel like. You know what I'm saying? If I feel like making that, that's what I feel. If I feel like making some street, that's what I feel like. That's what I'm going to do.
What's your inspiration for the music? I mean, when now living in Los Angeles is different than the stories of growing up in Chicago. What's the inspiration for the new music?
It's the same. It's just more to talk about. Different cars to talk about, different experiences of the houses, different areas, being around different people, going to different places like we went overseas. It's the same. It's just more.
For a lot of MCs, I mean, when you get successful and you change your environment, you know, you start rapping about how rich you are. Or about wanting to be number one or whatever. For mm-hmm. you, coming from Chicago, what keeps you grounded? What keeps you writing about the things that are deeper than just money and fame?
I'll still be around it. I just make better decisions, though. People around me, everybody not successful around me. Some people still struggling. Some people good, you know what I'm saying? So they keep me, like, what to talk about. And seeing them, like, motivate me to go harder, like, on the feeling side.
How important is family in your life? I mean, obviously with your kids, I mean, you've talked about, you know, in different interviews about the idea of being there for them now. That's changed. But how much inspiration do you draw from your little kids?
They number one, of course. My son, Lo, my oldest son, he the one really made me take it serious.
Right?
Because he was born, I was like, look, that made me really stay focused. Like, if he ain't do that, I don't know what I'd be doing right now.
So he keeps you sort of on the straight and narrow?
All my kids now, but he the one, since he the firstborn, he was the one who really got me focused.
My guest in studio, it's great to have him here, Def Jam recording artist Lil Durk from Chicago.
Yeah.
Second album, Two Times, out on Def Jam right now. It's been played all over the country. I mean, is it blow your mind that some of the music that you're producing with Def Jam is getting played in heavy rotation? I mean, I just think about the last record and the track you did with Jeremiah. It was the hit of the summer here in mm-hmm. Chicago.
Yeah, I'm glad I got it out. When I'm in L.A., it feels good, you know what I'm saying? But you know what I mean? Stop. We dropped it. Fans happy, you know what I'm saying? We just gotta keep going for bigger looks and keep the music going, stay out of trouble. Definitely. That's number one.
Well, let's talk about that. You mentioned when your oldest son was born, you were locked up. Mm-hmm. You were put in for a gun charge, you know, but you grew up in Inglewood in the Chicago South Side. Talk about that experience and how that affects the music that you put out.
Violence, not eating, lights off, cold water, Everybody know when you have to put the water on the stove with the pot, put it in the tub, wash it with a cup. I said, it was hard growing up, you know what I'm saying? Like, my daddy had it. My daddy was gone since 92. You know what I'm saying? We were struggling, but it made me a man, though, doing all that, going through that. You know what I'm saying? Being in the areas I was in the hoods I've been around, that's what made me what I am today.
When did you realize that you had a gift for music and that could be a way out?
When I was 17. I just tried it. People liked it. I'm saying, but I wasn't really taking it serious until I got locked up. When I told you, I said my son was born when I was a deer, so I really took it serious.
So it took getting locked up for you to get serious about music?
Yeah, because I ain't nothing to do. I'm saying, it's like following my daddy footsteps. But I got out and got on top of what I had to do to make sure he was good.
A lot of your music, I mean, even the early stuff, I mean, you talked about your life. And you can watch some of the videos that are on YouTube, and it's a lot more in the environment, as opposed to the stuff that's now where you might be in your environment now in Los Angeles, the videos that you're doing now. And talk about that, going back to that music and that time, those mixtapes, the beginnings of the drill scene here in Chicago. What were you trying to accomplish with the music, and what kind of story were you trying to tell?
I was just trying to get my life story and the people around me story. You know what I'm saying? When I first started, just showing what we're going through, because that's when they were saying the violence and everything was because of us back then. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I was just trying to get my our point across. And what it's doing now, just trying to change it, trying to show them what I became from back then and now.
Do you believe that? I mean, because there's a lot of media and, I mean, the police talk about it. Other people talk about how the drill scene and some of the rappers, Chief Keef and yourself, glorified violence or was some of the main causes because of violence just based on what you guys were rapping about. Do you believe that?
I just keep them a check in their pocket. They don't know what they're talking about. That's how they get paid, to make everybody look bad. That's what they do.
So that wasn't the case?
Not for me. I'm going to speak for myself, and that ain't the one case for me. I don't know what they're talking about.
You lived that lifestyle, and people looked up to you because, as you said, when you started doing it and you're 17 years old, people were like, oh, I love the music. I mean, it was the right time. I mean, think about 2009, 2010.
Killing me going on since everybody been born, so yeah, right? Don't blame us.
But that's something that I think people seem to forget, is that the drill scene was not necessarily the beginning of Chicago violence by any stretch.
See, people forget what they want. And they remember what they want. You know what I'm saying? They did it on purpose. You know what I'm saying? To make everybody look bad. Because they probably ain't wanted here. But they ain't had no choice. But we still here. Still doing what we doing.
You know, we just came off of July, which was a terrible month for violence in Chicago. I mean, the worst in a decade, to think about that. For you, as someone who's come out of it, but, you know, is now removed from it and be able to come back, what do you see? I mean, do you see that there's any way that this can be stopped, a way that this can be prevented, or you can see the numbers go down, or what is the way that we should be looking at violence in Chicago?
You know, every city, I mean, every time you come to the news, it's how they rate it, how they murder rate it, how they gun violence is. Like, we don't really see, well, a lot of time you don't see Chicago, but I know what's going on, but everybody else don't. We trying to put something together to make it more better, because like I said, they'll never stop, but we definitely in the works of doing, like, Stop the Violence concert, bringing people back together who we around, whoever got the voices in Chicago, who supposed to be in tour in Chicago, everybody trying to come together. I'm saying.
But that's you're talking about that, like a Stop the Violence kind of campaign that you'd be involved in?
Yeah, that's something like we never did. Eight people can't be involved, only two people participating, you know what I'm saying? It ain't gonna make sense.
You all gotta come together.
Yeah, but it's working now. Well, we putting together now, it's working.
Do you feel like there's any responsibility from the artists that have grown up and moved on to give back to the community?
Yeah, because how we started and what they were saying is we started this and we can't go on and forget about it, because they'd be like, he started that for real. We just can't do nothing but try to get it better.
And does it surprise you how big Chicago has gotten in terms of hip-hop in the country? I mean, not only you guys, but what's happening with the Save Money Crew and others. Do you feel like is it shocking to you that Chicago has done this well?
Yeah. When we started, I ain't expect it. We just like, oh, this is what it is. But as more artists started coming up, the devil was keeping it alive. It was like, all right, Chicago, where is that? Then you go out of town, everybody copying off us. That's how you know it's going to be big, bigger than what it was.
You and Reese and Chief Keef, you shined a light on a Chicago sound, and the major labels came after that. Mm-hmm. And I think about you being 23 years old now. You've moved on from sort of being the voice of that generation, or the next generation, the 17, 18-year-olds that were you who are rapping on the street. Is it still as strong? Is the drill scene still as strong on Chicago's South Side as it was when you guys were doing it 5, 6 years ago?
It definitely is. I'm saying, you got rappers that you don't see. I'm saying that we see that's like doing the same thing we was doing. It's like, damn, it's still here. Everything's still here. It just, like I say, people see what they want to see.
Is the major label system that came in and got you and Keith and others, is that still looking for Chicago rappers on the South Side?
Yeah, some of them. I won't say all of them.
My guest in studio, Lil Durk, his new record, Two Times, is out on Def Jam Records. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll continue our conversation with Durk here on The Download. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. My guest in studio, Chicago hip-hop star and Def Jam recording artist Lil Durk. His new record, Two Times, is out. Money Walks, My Beyonce, the tracks you can hear on the radio and all over the internet right now. It's amazing to me, Durk, that, you know, Chicago has had such success. I mean, to think about, there was almost like a time where, you know, I guess Kanye West and Common and were coming out, and then there was a little time off where people didn't, you know. Yeah. but it's surprising to me. How did the major labels find you? You talk about work. You talk about putting it in. What was it about your music and what was happening in a drill scene that grabbed the attention of the industry?
Chief Keef really brought like the real light. You know what I'm saying? The labels looking at, hey, who's he? And then they started like, who are the people here around? That's what it was. So he really brought the light, you know what I'm saying? But we all kept it up.
You've rapped about this yourself, just about this, my city's terrified of me, or I'm paraphrasing the line. But, you know, and you kind of talked about this in interviews as well, that, you know, it's tough to come back to play shows in Chicago. I mean, we saw what happened with Keith where...
Back then.
Yeah, I mean, there was I don't even know what happened with the hologram stuff. But the idea that your music became almost too dangerous and Chicago seemed to go out of their way to keep you guys from performing here. Talk about that.
When the violence was going on in Chicago, when they was blaming us, it was like, oh, they can't do no show, they're going to start riots. When we did do shows, like a lot of fights and stuff. So that's really gave them like, no, they can't do nothing here. Or the police in the district or the area shut it down.
Take us back to that time. As the artist on stage, what were you thinking about when the crowds were getting antsy or unruly? And
we were young. That's what we liked it. You know what I'm saying? that's what they liked it. You know what I'm saying? We were just doing it. We didn't know the rhetoric in Chicago was going to be like this. At the moment, we were just turned up. You know what I'm saying? Now it's time to fix it. So it's like...
So now at 23 years old and a Def Jam recording artist, I mean, do you think back to that and do you...
Yeah.
I mean, you can't go back and change it, but as you move forward, do you think more about making sure that the audience is... that you're in a position that you think about all the things that happened when you were 17?
Yeah, you can't really stop a crowd from doing unless you just talk to them. But it's like back then when it was going on, a fight would be like, oh, they called the fight, I knew it. And this time it'd be like now it got like a little smoother. It'd just be a fight. I'm saying, but we always be like, no, don't fight so we can get this money or continue the show.
For an artist like you, I mean, you rap about what you know and your experiences. And like I said at the beginning, I mean, you've had your share of violence and loss. And you talk about your manager and friends of yours who've been victims of gun violence. When you think about it, when you come back to Chicago, I mean, how do you honor the people who aren't here anymore in your life?
Rap. That's how I honor them in rap. I'm saying, because everybody I lost, they was here with me during the rap scene. So that's how I can just keep you on. Don't stop.
Do you have certain tracks and certain things that you rap about that are in honor of the people that were in your life?
Yeah, I said names. That's what keep me going, too. And if I stop, it's like, oh, yeah, I let them down. I ain't doing that.
You're getting a lot of press about your latest tattoo, the Black Lives Matter tattoo on your leg that it seems like everybody seems to be calling out. But, I mean, you're obviously keyed into the movement. Being from Chicago, being from the South Side, and when we talk about Chicago and its segregation problem, but also problem where we saw with Laquan McDonald and police brutality, I mean, how do you react to it as a South Side performer, as somebody who came up in the scene, but also came up as a kid and on the streets of Chicago? What's your reaction when you see stories like that?
Like I said, back in the city, I can't do nothing but really make us go hard with it. Whatever happened, it happened already. Now we just got to prevent it from happening again, which we trying to do, you know what I'm saying? If it's success, the city going to be a lot better, you know what I'm saying?
Do you believe that you can come in and have a positive impact to be able to come back with your music and be able to do some stuff, a Stop the Violence campaign, and be able to talk to kids who are 15, 16 years old who are shooting up neighborhoods? I mean, you feel like you can come in and talk to them?
Yeah, we're going to try. I'm saying it ain't gonna hurt to try, but a lot of the situations when they be like, let's do this and that, you know what I'm saying, my name always come up like, oh, they mess with Durk, so that just made you know I got a big influence over them. We just gonna keep trying.
it's kind of interesting. I mean, you're such a wise 23-year-old in the sense that, you know, when you were 17, I mean, even 5 years ago, I mean, you were one of the kids that they wanted to reach out to.
Yeah.
I mean, so talk about that. Talk about the transition in your life of being someone who has moved on in music and is at a major label and is getting paid. Talk about the idea of giving back.
I ain't get it at first. That's how my mindset was. I'm saying it's hard hit when listening. Now I see the bigger picture. I get the bigger picture. Less violence, more money to me.
That's the tagline? That's what the big banner will be in the park? Less violence, more money?
Less violence, more money, and let's live longer, I'm saying.
Live longer. 23 years old, second record. You know, as we wrap up, and I'm interested in your philosophy on the music industry. You know, we've seen a lot of different artists put out mixtapes or just bypass the industry. They don't sign with Def Jam. They just go straight to the internet, or they're able to do things where they just tour and they don't even care about being a part of the industry.
The internet big today.
Yeah, so how, I mean, for you as being one of the artists who actually is on Def Jam, who's moved to a major label kind of thing, I mean, do you think about that and how you produce your music?
No, it is what it is with me. It happened. I can't really cry about it. And they doing their job. Ain't no reason to be crying about it. If they ain't doing their job, if you ain't doing your job, that's when the crack come in.
Do you like being a part of the Def Jam family? Is that something
I definitely do. We here. Can't cry about it.
Can't cry about it.
You got to make it more better.
I think about the Chicago scene that comes out right now. And here in Chicago, we have a lot of press that's on Chance the Rapper and Vic Mensa and others from that crew that are coming out. Is Chicago a unified hip-hop city? I mean, just for you and for the Chief Keef crew and the drill scene, and the Save Money team, which seems to come from a different place. Is that a unified hip-hop scene, or is it you guys not talk to each other?
I say unified. Everybody talk to each other. It just everybody got a different goal. I can't make you do this. You can't make me do that. So everybody got their own goals, but everybody talk to each other, and everybody cool.
So if you're walking down Melrose in L.A., you see Vic Mensa, you're like, Vic, it's Dirk.
I'm like, get in the car. What you doing walking, man? I'm saying vice versa.
Right. Lil Durk's my guest tonight at the big table. It's a pleasure to meet you and to talk to you about your life and your music. Def Jam recording artist. The new record is Two Times. You can hear it all over the radio right now. Thanks for coming in. We appreciate it, and good luck with the rest of your career.
Appreciate y'all.